used to watch this perfect couple. They were the embodiment of true love. I want to start my life over again. I saw her. I saw her from the train. She was with this man. Just for a second. Is this her? Can you tell me where you were Friday night? I was in the city, and then I went to visit my husband.
You mean your ex-husband? It's my understanding that the woman who has gone missing was his nanny.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. How could you be so heartless? Oh, another movie with a shitty-ass theme song in the trailer. Oh, that just seems to be the norm of the year. People, welcome to the Girl on the Train review. That's right here. And I have never read this book, because this is based off an actual book. I have never read this book, but I know a lot of girlfriends that have read this book, and they pretty much just told me that, it is faithful to the adaptation, and that the movie does a few things that I noticed that how they described it to me. I said, oh, I guess that's why they did that choice, because that was kind of retarded. But either way, though, let me go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So you got Emily Blunt, who plays Rachel, and she's the girl on the train, starring her two co-stars, because there really is just one star here, and that's Miss Emily Blunt. She's on a train, and she's passing by these houses on a daily basis, and you don't really know what she's doing. She seems like she's going to work, I guess. And she starts to fantasize about the people that live in these houses, because wink wink, she used to live in this area as well, that you find out later in the film. She starts to realize that there's this couple, Megan, Haley Bennett, played by Haley Bennett, and then you got Luke Evans, who plays Scott, and my god, that man is just, oof, he's just a beefcake, isn't he? But she starts to see them two together, and she starts to wonder what their life is like. She starts to describe, because she's an artist, she's a drawer. She starts to draw and say, I bet he has a crooked smile and all this other detail. She just starts saying, and you just go like, this bitch is crazy, okay? What woman sits up here and fantasizes about it? Whatever, let's go about it. And so, later on we get into the story more so, we find out that, her husband, played by Justin Theroux, and he plays Tom, and his new woman in his life, Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Anna in here, they're the couple that now lives in her old house because, well, let's just say that from what she tells us, he pretty much left her because she has a drinking problem, and she's constantly blacking out. Only to find out there's a twist in later at the end of the film. And so they have a child together. Now, you find out later through the film, too, as well, that Emily Blunt's character, Rachel, wanted to have a child. She wanted a family, but she couldn't. She kept failing. So it caused her to start drinking, from what she tells us. And it kind of made her violent in a way, from what we see. But so you just assuming that, okay, he kind of just left her for this chick. And it's funny because Megan, the girl that goes missing in the movie, she's also the nanny of Anna because they have a child and stuff, a newborn baby, until she quits. And, you know, you constantly see her go through therapy sessions and stuff about how her husband, or I guess it was her boy, I can't remember if it was her husband or boyfriend, Luke Evans, who's just constantly, he's just overshadowing, constantly checking her laptop and stuff like that. Well, yeah, you know what? She ends up missing, and for some odd-ass reason, Emily Blunt's character, Rachel, puts that Sherlock Holmes hat on, and I'm just assuming just because she's white, and that's what white people do, they have to put that Sherlock Holmes hat on and just saying, I have to help Scott find her. It's like, bitch, you don't even know her, so why don't you mind your own goddamn business? How about that? And And but before that, Emily Blunt sees her at her house, Megan, that is, with another man. And it's Edgar Ramirez's character who plays Dr. Kamal Abdik in here. Abdik. Which I hear, by the way, he's supposed to be Middle Eastern in the book or something. But in here, they did have this awkward-ass scene where she was just like, oh, you have an accent. He's like, okay, you have an accent, too. And then it just ends right there. He's like, what the fuck was that? So Emily Blunt sees these two on her balcony, and they look like they're kissing and stuff, and she kind of freaks out. And then that's when Megan goes missing, and Emily Blunt decides to take it upon herself to go tell Luke Evans, Scott's character, that, I saw her with another man, and it was his therapist, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, okay, well, it's nice to know that she's safe. She just ran off with this guy then. So then they start to talk about calling the cops on Edgar Ramirez's character, and he kind of does nothing, so they don't have any bait on him or dirt or anything. He's like, I haven't seen her in a while, so now it's turned into a disappearing act mystery here, and the fingers are all pointing at Luke Evans' character. So Emily Blunt decides to take it upon herself, because she's such a fucking alcoholic wreck, she tries to remember what exactly happened the night of the tunnel when she saw Megan, because it's all kind of a blur. And thus, there goes your plot synopsis. I know, it's a little confusing. It is a little confusing. I have to say, oh my god, this is one of those movies, once again, this month and last month, they just seem to have these movies where I gotta tell you, getting through that first 15, 20 minutes is just hard as fuck right now. And the reason why I say that is because it is literally what the title says, it's a girl on the train who's just fantasizing about other couples. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, okay. Like, I know that women think men's fantasies are all weird and shit. Like, you know, we got them Lord of the Rings bullshit and all superheroes and stuff. But you know what? We fantasize about shit that ain't real. Man, women, the way these movies portray it and these books that show, man, you guys love to fantasize about other motherfuckers' lives and shit like that. It's like, oh my god, mind your own goddamn business, okay? That's all I could think about. Was just like, ugh. And it's such a Gone Girl wannabe too, as well, in this movie. And it's directed by what's that boy's name, Tate Taylor, the guy that did The Help, what did he do? He did Get On Up, yeah, which I like that film, but The Help, I did not fucking like that film. But in here, I think one of his major problems is, and that's what I hear, it's faithful to the books, but it's probably one of those movies that just doesn't translate well to the book, because from what I was told, the book breaks down each female character here between Emily Blunt, Haley Bennett, and Rebecca Ferguson, Anna, Megan, and Rachel. It breaks them down each chapter about, you know, pretty much who they are and what they're like. And this movie tries to attempt doing that. But basically, all three of them are kind of fucking boring, and you really just don't give a shit about them. And they try to make you sympathize with Emily Blunt's character, because she's this raging alcoholic, and she's trying hard to remember of a murder that's happened that she possibly didn't do. But it's like, why would I care about her? I don't really give it. She's putting her nose. Even the cop tells her in this, you kind of, what was that cop's name? Allison Janney, Detective Riley in here. And she kind of tells her, she's just like, you know, girl, you keep showing up in places where my investigation starts to go. It's like you keep going here and there and stuff. And it's like, none of this has anything to do with your ass. It's just like, mind your own fucking business. And that's all you can really say there. Now, I will get into a positive here I have here. But I guess before I get into that, though, the movie, like I said, the book breaks up in each girl's chapter and stuff. And the movie kind of does that, too, because it'll go to a black screen and say, Anna, Megan, and he's just like, oh my god, stop it. The pacing in this movie was just pretty fucking awful, I gotta say. But Rachel, Emily Blunt in here, the positives now, she really goes all out for this. I mean, she fucking puts her all into this. This is heartwarming performance on Emily Blunt, and rightfully so, because we all know that Emily Blunt easily is, without a shadow of the doubt, the best actor in this damn movie. I mean, she is the best thing in here, if you ask me. Haley Bennett, Rebecca Ferguson, Justin Theroux, Luke Evans, Edgar, you ain't got shit on this girl. This girl is just a class act, if you will. And I think she's amazing, and she really puts a performance in here like no other. I think everyone else is just there. They're doing whatever the hell they're given here. But nobody really stands out. And Luke Evans's character, you know, I think he's a fine actor. I think he's decent enough to get the job done, given the right material. And in here, he gets the job done. He does what he's need to do. The problem with his character, though, it's so one-note written that he's just this husband who's supposed to be a mystery film. And he's supposed to, you can't tell who is the killer here. And they keep showing that little bits of his rage and how angry he gets and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it to his character. And he's just like, I guess we really don't have nothing to do with him. And then you got Justin Theroux here, Tom, the ex-husband, who's just so nonchalant about things and stuff like that, and secretly hiding that Rachel supposedly still calls him and stuff. Only there's a twist here. And my God, man, what really kills a mystery film too is if you can predict what's gonna happen in like the first 30 minutes. And this is a 2-hour film. You just sitting there going like, oh my God, this is so paint by numbers. I already know who did what and where is this going, you know? And that's easily just a mystery killer itself. Like I said, I think Emily Blunt does a good job. I think the look of the film looks good. Other than that, I really don't have any positive. I thought this movie just dragged on, to be honest. And there was constant times where I was checking my phone, just like, okay, I think we could just hurry up and wrap this up. We kind of know where this is going. And then, you know, she starts to remember things throughout the counter events, and she realized that, dun, 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 the real killer of Megan here. Because if Edgar Ramirez, I don't even know why they had him for this movie. They could have got anybody for that role because he's just so minimal in here. He's just like, wow, he's got like probably 3 scenes in the whole film. And when they reveal who the real, because there's a third mistress of Megan, and they're like, oh, who could it be? Who could it be? And it's just like, I don't know. How about the only guy that's tied into this shit? Tom, yeah, and we find out he killed her. And why he killed her is pretty much, he's been the one fucking her all nonstop. And you know what? The funny thing is, the trailer actually shows you that too. I just now saw that when I was putting this review together and stuff. And I was like, wow, so the trailer shows him fucking her. I was like, oh, because this movie's got a lot of fucking in it and involved with it. It's a lot of fucking going on. And hell, Megan even calls herself a whore. But she's kind of like one of those whores that's boring. She just kind of just looks into the sky and shit and just like, oh, you don't put any kind of emotion into it. She's got the Kristen Stewart Twilight effect and shit. And just like, nobody wants a whore like that. You want a whore that's at least going to smile every now and then or say you like that daddy, right? Or mommy or whatever your personal choices are, you know? But then when Tom shows, they show why he killed her, you know, he was abusive. All these stuff, because she starts to remember, Emily Blunt starts to remember because she runs into an old boss of Tom's on the train, and she goes to apologize and saying, hey, I acted like a damn fool at that event when I was, and they were looking at her like, girl, you were fine. I mean, everyone had a lot to drink. You had a few drinks, but then we took you into the guest room and you took a nap, and nothing else happened after that. So we find out that, because she says, but I got Tom fired. And she was like, no, Tom got fired because he was fucking everything that walks in that damn office. And it was just like, oh, so Tom's just been lying on her every time she drinks or whatever. She just gets drunk, so she does horrible things and stuff like that. And, we find out she starts to start remembering things. He's kind of abusive as fuck. And even in the tunnel scene where Megan, the last appearance of her, you know, he knocks her upside the head, Emily Blunt upside the head, and tells Megan, get in the car. She's like, I want to go into the woods. And he's just like, oh, that's some white people shit, I guess. I don't know. Megan's just like, he's like, what's wrong, girl? I want to go into the woods. And he's just like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Okay. All right, whatever. And then next you know, he's like, yeah, you want it, baby. Yeah, they're about to fuck again or something like that. But then she tells him, I'm pregnant, and there's this thing about Megan, because Luke Evans in here, he wants to have a family too, he wants to get her pregnant, but she kind of feels like, oh, it's just a way of him trapping me and stuff like that. But then when they tell some backstory about her, that she once had a baby before she had all this life and stuff like that, but she accidentally killed the baby when she took a bath, a hot bath, and I feel like I've heard this story before somewhere. She took a hot bath and she fell asleep with the baby on her chest, and the baby, she woke up to the baby drowned and stuff. So I feel like I've heard that somewhere in a different movie maybe, or a book I've read or something. But whatever, nonetheless here. So she, I guess it's more so she's not feeling like she's trapped. It's more so that she's just afraid of having another child and going through that, because I, it's really hard, obviously, for a woman to lose their child, especially that way. That's it makes you, it makes definitely make you feel responsible. So I definitely feel where she's coming from. I just don't think that Haley Bennett was really that good, to be honest. She had a tired resting face, you know, all the whole throughout the whole damn movie, and just like, oh my god, can you fucking react to something once? And then she kind of tells Tom, he's like, I'm pregnant. He's just like, well, if it's mine, you need to get an abortion in. And if it's not mine, then go ahead and have the damn thing. She's like, it could be yours, though. And the next note, she kind of calls him an asshole. She pushes him, and, you know, he's got a fucking temper. And he pushes her. He shoves her ass, and she trips over a fucking stick and knocks her head upside this way. And she's bleeding. She's like, ah, ah. And then he drags her behind his tree and just starts beating her to death with a rock and shit. And he's just like, okay, I don't, was that necessary? I was like, why did you... I don't even know why that was necessary, to be honest. I was just like, okay, the push, it was like she was still alive. I mean, you could have just took her to the hospital and got it stitched up or something like that and just been like, oh, it was an accident that happened. But, oh, he had to go and kill her. And I was like, that trait just seemed to come out of nowhere. And so then you get to the end of the movie when they expose everything. And, you know, Emily Blunt ends up killing Tom, and the cops come and they take Emily Blunt and Anna away and stuff, because Anna, I really just didn't get Anna's character. She was just like, I know he's cheating on me and he's possibly killed Megan, because she found the Megan's cell phone in his pocket and stuff like that, and she's like, why would he have Megan's cell phone? But she's kind of still going along with it. I don't even know why. I mean, there's parts where she's just I mean, the movie, honestly, that last one, it just gets really fucked up and stuff. But when the cops take him in, she vouches for Rachel, saying, you know, he was gonna kill her and stuff, so she had no choice. It was self-defense. And then they're talking about, oh, we all tie in, the movie in. And then it's funny, because when the cops take him in, Luke Evans, he's just standing there just like looking from a distance, and he's just like, why would he be out looking? And, like, nobody in this town knows what's happening right now, but he just so happens to be the only guy standing out of his, just looking. You did good. Yeah. Thank you for finding my wife's murderer. Yeah, it's like, I thought this movie was just boring as fuck, dude. If this was supposed to be Gone Girl, my God, man, this is the weird version of what Gone Girl could be. Hell, I don't even think it's as nowhere near as good as Joel Edgerton's, which I thought could have been, I think it was last year that movie came out, last year's The Gift, which that, to me, felt more like a Gone Girl than this one would, because it's actually good. Where you got this one, it's just terrible. And the only thing that kind of keeps it together is just Emily Blunt's performance. Everything else in here, everybody had resting bitch face throughout the movie. People's looking confused and wandering and stuff. And it's just, it was just a testament that looked like no one really cared. Or, to be honest, what I heard, though, from my friends, they say the book is shitty. So, I mean, and that's three of them. I haven't heard these three women. They say, oh, yeah, by the way, the book sucks ass. So it's like, you know, I was like, well, I don't know what you was really hoping to get out of a sorry book adaptation. But then maybe I was like thinking, oh, maybe they switched some things around and stuff here. And it kind of looked like they really just didn't slip any things around. So, oh, man, I thought I was going to get a fuck it, to be honest. I was like, I'm not really into this shit at all, actually. This is leaning in that fuck it territory. So, but I would say that Emily Blunt really steps her game up. And I honestly have no idea why this book became so appealing, if you will, or popular, because there's really nothing to this film. It's just so generic and stuff like that. But from what I also heard, too, is that the book kind of gets more into detail about the personalities and stuff like that, where, you know, I could see that shown in the movie, like I said earlier, but these women personalities are fucking boring. So they're like fucking cardboard cutouts. So for that, oh, I'm definitely giving this a low stream. It's probably gonna get a fuck. I really did not enjoy this movie. I just couldn't wait till it end. I was even kind of regretting in a way watching it, to be honest, because I was like, eh. And I had a cool theater experience too, by the way, man. I got to see this had a very nice early screening of this, and I got this. I didn't get to sit with them or anything like that because I was like all the way in the front or whatever. But the whole Collider crew was there. I think Jeremy Johns was there as well too. So you know, because now he works for them and stuff. So there was a lot of cool people into this theater. So I was like, oh man, this is my first time actually sitting in the theater with them for this. So this could be interesting. Hopefully, it's a good movie, you know. But then you know, I want to say that I was the only one just like kind of like. I was kind of like looking at the walls and shit like that. I was like, the architect on this theater is really nice right here. And yeah, especially when they get to the ending and they make the reveal. It had such a weak feel to it. It was just like, ta-da. Ta-da, we're here. It's like, oh. That was not suspenseful at all. I mean, there's really no tension build up here, so... You can't have a murder mystery film without any damn tension to the damn film. I'm like, come on, that's like that's like fucking writing 101 for a murder mystery film. But I'm giving it a low stream. Emily Blunt, she really does save this movie, and she's just way too good for this film, honestly. I just look at, she is obviously the most standout thing about the film, and she's personally, for me, she's probably the only really good thing about the film too, as far as her character writing and stuff like that. And I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of fucking annoyed with her because I just wanted to tell her, mind your own fucking business, Jesus Christ. But hey, if this is the character and this is what you're gonna do and this is what this movie's about, then I guess I have no choice but to follow it. And fuck it, I can go along with it. I'm fine with it. Whatever. She does a great performance. So a low streaming from me. So, did you read the book? Did you not read the book? Are you going to go watch the movie? Did you not watch the movie? Well, yeah, you know the usual. Comment in the section of this review and let me know what you thought of the movie, the book, or both for that matter. I want to hear your thoughts. And that is all.
Rachel, why are you here?
Because I'm helping find Megan.
I don't think you're helping anybody.
I saw your wife with someone.
Megan has a therapist. Is that who you saw?
That when a train hits, it can rip the clothes right off of you. How could
you
be
so ugly? You were seen in the area that night. How could you be so ugly? Did you murder Megan Hipwell?
No. How could you be so ugly? Just tell me what happened that night.
Why are you here?
Because I'm afraid of myself.